Scripture reading for this evening is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Good to be with everybody here tonight. Appreciate your presence very much. Tonight we want to talk just a little bit about the work of the church. This is kind of a review lesson, but it is very important to me that we keep in mind some of these fundamental things before us. I have made the statement several times over the past year or so that it is going to be hard for conservative churches to maintain their numbers. And the reason for that is because it just seems like the world is getting more and more liberal. And that has found its way into the religious world. Certainly denominations are getting more and more liberally minded. You have even amongst churches of Christ, these so-called ultra-liberal churches that you can't hardly recognize them as churches of Christ. And even the more mainstream liberal churches are getting more liberal. And even conservative churches of Christ now are becoming a little more liberal in their thinking. And by liberal, I simply mean that they are taking more liberties with regard to the authority of the scriptures and what they are willing to do so far as the work of local churches are concerned. And so, because of that, it seems to me that we have to, as a local congregation here at Brown Street, continue to make sure that we remain firm, that we remain sound and faithful with regard to the authority of the Scriptures. Remember, in Colossians 3 at verse 17, Paul said, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." And that, of course, means that whatever we preach, whatever we practice, it must be by the authority of Jesus Christ. And we always want to be conservative when it comes down to those kind of things. And so from time to time, we need to remind ourselves what the work of the local church is. And I know that most of you understand exactly what it is. But again, we just need to keep these things in our mind. And so tonight, just for a little while, we want to talk about the work of the local church. And what makes something the work of the local church? First of all, something that is planned, provided, or participated in by the local church. And number two, something supported from the treasury of the local church. And so whatever we do here at Brown Street along those lines is a part of our work. Whether that work is scriptural or unscriptural, whether it is right or wrong in the eyes of God, that becomes a part of the work of the Brown Street Church of Christ. Whatever we plan, provide, and participate in, that's our work. Whatever we do using the money that comes from our treasury, that becomes a part of the work of the Brown Street Church of Christ. And once again, there are many local churches of Christ that are doing things simply that are wrong in the eyes of God because there's no authority for them. But that's what makes something a work of a local church. And we should, again, want to make sure we're doing only what is authorized by God. What the work of the church is not. And this is very important for all of us to understand. And it runs contrary to what most people think in the religious world today. It is not to bring about a social reformation, nor to be a social institution involved in social activities. It is not the work of the church, in other words, to heal all of the problems, all of the ills of society. There is no question but that our society is in a mess. From a moral standpoint, especially, we know that society is in a mess. But not only from a moral standpoint, there are all kinds of problems in the world today. And I suspect that that has always been the case. But it is not now, and it never has been, the work of the church to heal all of those problems. It is not our responsibility as a collective group to help feed all of the poor, to somehow do away with poverty or other things that might fall into the realm of injustice and that sort of thing. That's not the work of the church. And the truth is, it never has been. There were plenty of problems in the first century. They had their problems with poverty. They had social issues. But one thing you never, ever find is local churches getting involved trying to heal all the social problems of that particular world at that time. That's not the work of the church. But that has become the work of denominational churches, and more local churches have been getting involved in that sort of thing. There was an article written years ago, 1958, if you can read that on the screen, by Harry Goldberg. He wrote this little piece in Life magazine. This is just a part of it. But he was a Jewish man. And he wrote in this piece, if I were faced today with the decision my ancestors faced, become a Christian or die, I would pick a church fast. There is nothing to offend me in the modern church. The minister gives a sermon on juvenile delinquency one week, reviews a movie the next week, and then everyone goes downstairs and plays bingo. The first part of the church they build nowadays is the kitchen. And he obviously is referring to the church building. But he's right about that. That's way back in 1958. And as you begin to scan the religious world today, do you think that things have gotten better or worse with regard to that? Obviously, they have become more and more liberal. In the minds of most people, the church is supposed to help with all of the ills of society. The church is to try to solve the problems of the world. The church is supposed to engage in these kinds of social, recreational things like playing bingo and that sort of thing. Most people in the world today would say, yes, that is a work of the church. But the truth is, it never has been. And most importantly, when we go to the Word of God and we begin to look at the local churches of the first century that we read in the Bible, we never, ever see them engaging in those kind of social things. We need to recognize it's not the work of the church to heal all of the problems of society. There's nothing wrong with individual Christians getting involved in certain social issues. But it is not the work of the local church. It's not to provide recreation, ball teams and basketball courts and movies and that sort of thing. Never has been the work of the church. It's not the work of the church now. It never will be the work of the church. I can remember when I first started preaching in Long Beach, California, one of the large liberal congregations in Long Beach. They were already way back then showing movies in the auditorium and charging admission to see. They were selling tickets for people to see these secular movies, just regular entertainment that they were engaging in. That's not the work of the church. That's what we refer to as the social gospel. And again, as conservative congregations, we oppose the social gospel. We need to continue, and the pressure will constantly be on us to give way to the social gospel, to compromise just a little bit with regard to the social gospel. But as a conservative local church, we must determine, no, we're not going to do that. Why? Oh, for only one reason. There's no authority for it. And at the end of the day, when there's not authority for something, it is going to be a negative thing. People might enjoy the ball games and that sort of thing, the recreation and entertainment and all the fun and frolic. But at the end of the day, it's not a good thing if it's displeasing to God, if there's no authority for it. Let's look at specifically at some of the things that's wrong with the social gospel. We've often pointed out that it distorts the mission of Christ. The social gospel distorts the very reason why Jesus Christ came. He didn't come so that people could have fun. He didn't even come so that he could alleviate the world of poverty. That wasn't the reason Jesus came. His purpose, as he stated himself, was to seek and to save that which is lost. And when the social gospel has its way, it distorts the very purpose why Jesus gave up the riches of heaven and came down here to earth in the first place. It distorts the mission of Christ. It devalues the power of the gospel. We should always remember that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. As the Bible says in one place, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The word of God can get the job done. Today, people, and I suspect that most who get involved in the social gospel would deny this. But today, a lot of people seem to indicate by their actions that somehow the gospel of Christ just isn't powerful enough to get the job done. We have to trick people into coming to a service like this. If we can just lure them in with fun and frolic, then we can drop the gospel on them and maybe they'll accept it. The fact of the matter is the gospel is powerful enough. It's the only thing that we need to convert the soul, to win souls to Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, again, it is the power of God unto salvation. We don't need trickery. We don't need to attract people with fun and frolic and recreation and entertainment. We just need the gospel of Christ. And when we say we need the other stuff, it devalues the power of the gospel. But that is actually what people are trying to do. I remember years ago, Ron Daley had a debate with a fellow. And when he was doing his part of the debate, he got a little bit carried away. I heard a tape on it, and he seemed to be, he just got carried away with rhyming and that sort of thing. You know, he wanted to sound a little catchy phrase. And he talked about the people that liberal churches would attract. He said, we lead them and feed them and bleed them. And it sounded real good, but that was a terrible thing to say. We lead them, feed them, and bleed them. And Ron was all over that the rest of the debate. And what he meant by that really is he attracts them. He leads them. How do they lead people? By these outward different things other than the gospel, by the fun and the frolic and all of that. And they feed them. And people, of course, love to be fed, but then they bleed them. They get them financially. And that, again, that just is terrible. And I think, no doubt he probably, when that came out of his mouth, he realized, boy, I probably didn't need to say that. But he got carried away. But that's the idea of the social gospel, attracting people in ways other than the gospel. And you look at these mega churches, and they're all doing things like that. They may not be foolish enough to say something like that, but they're drawing in people by the hundreds and even by the thousands, not with the gospel of Christ, but with the fun and the frolic, with the food, with the recreation and all of that. And it all says that the gospel isn't powerful enough. We want to win souls to Christ. And as I said earlier, it is going to be hard when we just take the gospel and the gospel alone. There's a lot of people in society that won't be attracted by the gospel of Christ. But that's just too bad. It's all we have to offer. It should be all that we ever offer. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And if people take it, if they accept it, and if they receive it and obey the gospel, that's wonderful, and we praise God. If they reject it, there's nothing we can do but kick the dust off our feet and go to other people with the same gospel. And if we say, no, we need to get people in here with something other than the gospel, we need to attract them by the physical and secular kind of things, we're saying the gospel of Christ isn't powerful enough to get the job done. And that's what the social gospel says. It diverts the attention of man from the cross to carnality. It gets people to focus on the flesh, focus on what they want from a physical or fleshly standpoint, and once again takes their mind off the thing that ought to be central, off the thing that is the central aspect of the gospel of Christ, the cross of Christ. And so the social gospel is wrong. Recreation, ball teams, basketball courts, and all of those kind of things. And the list just goes on and on of what things are doing. And people are getting used to it. People are getting used to churches having centers in their church buildings where you can do aerobics and have karate classes and all of those kind of things. Now, almost all mega churches, of course, and even those who aren't so large have their multi-purpose centers and that sort of thing. And in it all, they're offering things that appeal to the flesh, that appeal to the carnal man. Jesus didn't come for that reason. He came again to seek and to save that which is lost. It's not the work of the church to go into the money-raising business. You see, when you get involved in all this other stuff and all of the fun and the frolic, and you build your gymnasiums and you have your multi-purpose centers and all of that, those things cost money. And so now churches then have turned to different ways of raising money, as I suggested years ago, the one church selling tickets, raising money that way to society. And people would come, non-Christians, care nothing about Jesus Christ, but here's a place where we could probably get a ticket to see a popular movie half price or whatever the case was. And so people get involved in that. Churches having car washes and pie sales and all of that. The problem is that the church is not in the business of business. The church is not in the raising money business. The only way we can raise money is by the first day of the week offering. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have directed the churches of Galatia, even so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there be no collecting when I come. That's how we raise money. On the first day of the week, we lay by in store. We set aside, give that money to God. And once we put it in the collection plate, of course, it now belongs to God. And remember now, what we do with that money, that's the work of the church. But we raise that money just in one way, the first day of the week offering. The church is not in the business of raising money. That's not the work of the church. All of these things fall under the umbrella of the social gospel. They're very popular. Some of the things draw people in. We're to the point now today where some people, when they're looking for a church, that's the very first thing they begin to ask and inquire about. What are you going to do for us? What kind of programs do you have? What kind of fun do you guys get involved in? And so it's having an effect. That's why I'm saying to you that it'll be hard for conservative churches to maintain numbers, because the world is becoming more and more attractive to this kind of thing because they're getting used to it. It's what most churches offer. But we should be more concerned. While, yes, we want to grow as a congregation, we want to increase. Our first concern should be pleasing and God and glorifying our Heavenly Father, and we can only do that by doing it His way. So what is the work of the church? Again, I think most of us should understand this, but here's the passage that was read for us just a while ago. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, for the building up of the body of Christ. So the threefold work of the church, the equipping of the saints, that has to do with edification. And we can use the Lord's money for that. The spiritual teaching and training of Christians, that should be a work that we are engaged in. We should take that very seriously, helping each other grow in Christ. Brown Street should be interested in equipping the saints so that we can all stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the work of the church. That's what Paul encouraged them to do in Ephesians chapter 4. The second one, of course, is the work of service. That's benevolent work. And yes, that's a work of the church. We should be involved in benevolent work. Now listen, it's not trying to heal all the problems of society. It's not trying to feed all of the poor. Guess what they had in the first century? They had a lot of poor people. Particularly in the area where the church was established, in Judea and the surrounding areas, there were constantly famines and that sort of thing. You know what you never ever see the church doing? Trying to relieve all of the poor. What they did was help brethren. In all of the passages, in fact, you remember in that passage we had on the screen there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, when we saw how it is that we're to raise money. notice that this particular collection was for poor saints. And notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints. That's who it was for. They weren't the only poor folks in the world. But Paul was putting together a collection for the saints. We see this over and over again. Turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 15. And Romans the 15th chapter. And at about verse 27 or so. It says, for they were pleased to do it indeed. Back up verse 26. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. And again, it says they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owed it to them. But notice who it was for, the poor saints in Jerusalem. You think the saints were the only poor folks in Jerusalem? Of course not. A famine had taken place. They were struggling. People were struggling. But the collection that was set aside by local churches were for the poor saints in Jerusalem. Look over in Acts chapter 11. We have another situation. This is a separate situation. Again, it was a situation where famine had struck. In Acts chapter 11 and at verse 29, it says, and so the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to who? To the brothers living in Judea. Now, when you get out of concordance and you look at all of the benevolent work that local churches were involved in, it was always for the saints. It was always for the disciples. It was always for brethren. That's the work of the church. Now listen carefully to me. I'm not saying, and the Bible doesn't teach, that we're to be unconcerned about the poor who are outside the body of Christ. But that's your responsibility. That's my responsibility as an individual Christian. You want to help people who are poor? You go into your own pocket. You reach into your own purse and you help those who are struggling. That's just a part of being a Christian. But so far as what we can do with the Lord's money that is set aside upon the first day of the week, we can do benevolent work with regard to helping saints, Christians, brethren, disciples. That's the pattern. And that's the work of the church. There is, of course, then the building up of the body of Christ. That word building is the same Greek word Jesus used in Matthew 16, 18 when he said, I will build my church. And so here we're talking about evangelism. And it's the only way that we can broaden the borders of the kingdom of God by preaching the gospel of Christ. It is the work. It is, in fact, the exclusive work of the church. And we should be engaged in that. We should take that very seriously. We should be an evangelistic congregation. We're striving to be so. We can't let ourselves slip on that. As Ron talked about this morning, the personal work groups getting a little bit smaller. We don't want that to happen. We don't want to become less evangelistic. We want to become more evangelistic. We need to do everything we can individually and as a local church to win as many souls as we can. That's why Jesus came in the first place, to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the building up of the body of Christ. That's the threefold work of the church. I know that it's not exciting to people. I know people always, you know, one of the problems with man is man wants to get involved in big things and do great things and things that will draw attention and things that they'll be known for. And when you start to think about, well, the work of the church is edification and evangelism and benevolence and that's all the church did, that sounds kind of uneventful to people in the world. Kind of sounds a little bit boring. There's not much to that, and there's not. But it's very significant work. It's the Lord's work. And it's the work that he has given to his divine organization, the local church, and we need to carry it out. There's two things that we need to be on guard against. Number one, not doing the work that God has given us to do. Number two, doing more than the work that God has given us to do. And in this world where liberalism is spreading and getting worse and worse, we at Brown Street should want to maintain our conservative nature. Do the work of the church. Make sure we're doing that, but doing only that and nothing more. And I believe that if we continue to remain strong and firm, and we continue to preach only the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we don't compromise, and we don't develop any kind of liberal mindset, that yes, we can grow. It will be hard. I've been saying again that it'll be hard to maintain numbers, but what you haven't heard me say is that it will be impossible. It'll just take hard work. It'll just take all of us getting involved in doing the work that God has given us to do. But we need to maintain this work that God has given us. You notice what's not involved in that threefold work of the church? Where's the fun and the frolic? Where's the recreation and entertainment? Where's the secular education? The daycare centers and the colleges and all of those kind of things. You can't fit that into the equipping of the saints, the work of service, or the building up of the body of Christ. So let's make sure we maintain ourselves as a local church, doing exactly what God tells us to do, not doing any more, but not doing any less either. Let's do what God expects us to do. It'd be hard, but we can do it, and we can grow. But more importantly, we can continue to be pleasing to God if we maintain our conservative nature. I hope that we'll have the mindset to do that. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you've been caught up in the social gospel. Maybe you're a member of a church even tonight that is doing all kinds of things. You can't put your finger on the passage. You can't prove that it's scriptural, whatever it is that you're doing. Maybe you've realized that. You know, I've often said, these churches that are getting so far out there, I'm actually glad that some churches are getting worse and worse. If they're not going to stand for the truth, I don't want them to just remain a little bit. I want them to do what they want to do so that it becomes obvious that they are doing what is not pleasing to God. Maybe you're a member of a church like that. Maybe you're a member of a church that you have decided they have just gone too far. We want you to know tonight you can be a member of the Lord's church. You can be a member of a local church that has authority for everything that it does, that does simply the work of the church no more or no less. If you want to become a member of the Lord's church, if you're not a member, you need to obey the gospel. Mark chapter 16 at verse 16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You can do that tonight. In baptism, your sins will be washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and you can become a child of God this very night. And you can join yourself to a local church, to this local church. And you can be sure that everything we do is scriptural and sound, and we can put our finger on the passage for everything that we do. And hopefully that will be appealing to you. Do you want to become a child of God and maintain your Christianity by walking in the light? Why not start this very night? You may not have another opportunity. I hope that you will. Come forward as we together stand and sing.